appreciate the Lord's blessings to all of us. Sometimes thought of that one statement that, or a couple statements Brother Marty said this morning about you couldn't have, there's some problems you couldn't have if the Lord hadn't blessed you with something. You couldn't have a blown fuse on your truck until you had a pickup, you know. So sometimes we look around and say, well, Lord, it seems like we got troubles here or troubles there, but if it hadn't have been for the Lord's blessings, we wouldn't even be able to have a problem like that. So sometimes maybe we need to step back and just thank the Lord for his blessings to us. So we've had some messages kind of along the line of faith. I'll write that back up here. And then we talked about luck. And tonight I wanted to talk about providence. Providence is a word that one of the definitions is an act of providing or preparing for future use or application. My wife has been, she calls it working up peaches. She's got some peaches, and I don't know all the process, but she's been preparing them for future use. Now, in the event of her preparing for future use, I also got a peach, cream cheese, crust on the bottom dessert out of the deal, so that was pretty good. I heard that Sister Rennell was canning some tomatoes, maybe. Is that right? Peaches and tomatoes, okay. So when you do those kind of things, you're preparing something that you can reach out to, and it'll already be there for you in the future. I grew up in a home like that where my mother... I spent many an afternoon after school under a shade tree, shucking corn, snapping beans, those kind of things. Were maybe it was in the summer and we did it in the morning. Seemed like that was what happened a lot. But we had a, we called it a cellar, kind of a cave-like structure my dad had built that... had all kinds of produce in there. It was provided for future use. And when my mother needed a can of tomatoes or beets or green beans or whatever, she went out to the cellar and we were ready. So providence is the act of providing or preparing for some need in the future. That need hadn't got there yet, but it's ready when we do have the need. In theology, according to this definition, it's the care and superintendence which God exercises over his creatures. Now, obviously the word providence is something that is man's has assimilated, and the definition can be that as well. And I'm really interested in what our perspective is tonight of the care and the superintendence that God exercises over his creatures. All on this line of fate and luck. And not going to try to preach those messages tonight, but I do believe that there, we're destined, we said in, I believe, the message about faith, we're destined to leave this world at some point. The fate of mankind is that one of these days we're going to quit breathing and we're going to go on into eternity. Some people admit a general providence, this is still on a definition, but deny a particular providence, not considering that a general providence consists of particulars. A belief in divine providence is a source of great consolation to good men. By divine providence is often understood God Himself. So I believe that there is such a thing as the providence of God. But I also believe that we have to consider just what is it that God is the superintendent of, and how much care and design does He put in to our future needs. I read an article about a man that was restoring an old car. It's been a number of years ago. And it was a valuable car in that market. What today people would call a muscle car. Big engine, small car. And he had spent a lot of time accumulating parts. And they said, I just remember there was a couple little statements that stood out to me in this article I read about it, is if the car was moving down the assembly line, this man had so many new old parts that as it moved down the assembly line, he could just about provide all new bolts and new little components to make a new old car. So it took a lot of preparation before the restoration process could actually occur. So I'd like for us to look at a passage of Scripture over here in Philippians, the fourth chapter, and consider what we believe it was Apostle Paul that wrote this, and notice what he said here in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. A lot of times when we're reading this chapter, we read down through about the ninth verse, and we get our blessing, and then we don't read the rest of it. Because up above that, he's talking about the things that we ought to think about and those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. A lot of times we stop right there. So I'd like to start in verse 10. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done and did communicate with my affliction." So, just stay with us here as we read this. Try to follow the storyline. He says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." What's he talking about? He's talking about the church at Philippi that realized he had a need and they provided for him. I don't know what all those needs were. Maybe it was cash. I don't know how effective cash was in those days. Maybe it was some new clothes or new shoes. Maybe it was some assistance along the way in his travel. I don't know. He said here, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity." So he is he's thanking them for during his ministry, during his efforts to spread the gospel, these people had enough forethought to provide, or be, you might say, his providence to help prepare so that he didn't lack something. He was able to continue on. You know how difficult it is to focus your mind on helping someone else when you've got a whole basket full of troubles yourself? If you're trying to think, now how am I going to comfort somebody when every little bit your car that you're driving to get there sputters, and you think, well, just any minute it might quit. It's pretty hard to think about, now what are the words I'm going to say? What scripture am I going to share with them? How could I pray when I get there? It's, you know, maybe your prayer is, Lord, just help me to make it. When you're in those kind of, but somehow, whatever they did, it will happen more than once that they helped him out. He said, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." What do you think they sent him? Some cologne? I doubt it. It was probably, whatever they sent him was a blessing. That's what he's saying. You know how much of a blessing it is when you're trying to accomplish something and a friend of yours shows up to help? That's a real sweet smell. And the Philippians here, he was telling them, you sent, I got it. You sent this man, a name that's hard for me to say today, but you sent him and I got it. And I want you to know that it was a sweet smell. It was a sacrifice acceptable. I know you sacrificed. It come out of your budget. It come out of your pocketbook. Maybe it caused some hardship on your part, but thank you so much for being a blessing to me. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So I want us to consider now this 19th verse. Now, Paul, one we believe is the writer here, or the one that's asking it to be written, he says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Providence. What is going to be provided for us? Paul had received, I believe, some kind of material support. Maybe they sent some encouraging letters. Maybe they said, "Brother Paul, I want you to know we're praying for you. Thank you for spreading the gospel. We're so encouraged that there's other people getting saved." I don't know if they sent a letter like that to Paul, but I do believe they sent something. Maybe it was a lump of figs and a change or two of clothes and some new shoes and a new flask that he could put water in. I don't know. It was or something to help him in his, they sent something to him. And he says now, but my God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory. God, people, depending on where you're coming from and what your anticipation is, I believe that God, there is providence of God. God will supply all your needs according to his riches. And he's trying to assure them of that. Do you believe God can still provide for us in our areas of our, in all areas of our life? I believe he can. What kind of provision, providence, are you expecting? I tried real hard. I don't know if I was effective or not, but I tried real hard to undermine the idea that we're handed a script at birth and that we don't have any control over it and we're just living out what the script was that was handed to us. I don't believe fate like the world likes to impose on us. The Lord give us too much liberty to choose. And he wants us to choose a right path. I believe that luck is something that many people ascribe to events when if they would just consider their own actions and choices, they would realize that they brought the circumstances on themselves many times. I had a situation. I'm just going to elaborate on that just a little bit. I had a situation in my life. I bought my first truck before I had a driver's license, and I spent a lot of time sanding and preparing and teaching myself how to paint, and I painted that truck. And I had it tuned up, and it was ready to drive when I turned 16. And I drove it to school in my sophomore year when I got my driver's license. I drove it to school for about a month. And because our parking lot had one tree, they had, I can't remember, it seemed like it was gravel, but it had one tree in it, and my truck, I thought the wise thing to do was park in the shade. And I parked my truck under the tree for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, something like that, maybe 4 weeks. And one day we were standing, or not standing, we were sitting in the lunchroom, and my classmates liked to tease me about my truck. And they said, hey, Dan, there's a tree that tree fell on your truck. And I just thought they were telling me that to get a reaction out of me. And I said, well, I can't help it. It won't get any better if I just don't eat my lunch. I'll eat my lunch and then I go see, because I thought they were teasing me is what I thought they were doing. So I went out there, and sure enough, there was a limb probably 14 to 18 inches in diameter that it fell out of that truck, fell out of that tree, and it landed on top of my truck. One end of it landed in the hood. It went right across the top of the cab. You know what that looked like. And it kind of broke and fell down on the other side and skint the passenger side up. Was that a bad luck situation? It was a sycamore tree, and if you know anything about sycamores, you know that they can have a dead limb, mostly dead, with a few green leaves on it. And this sycamore limb that was big fell out of that tree on a relatively calm day. It was not stormy. It was not lightning. It was not a tornado in the area. The tree fell out and smashed the roof of my truck. I had to drive it home, sticking my head out the window. It was bad. But you know, I made a choice that day to park under the tree. It was an unfortunate consequence of parking under the tree. But it was not something that if I would have thought ahead of time, you know, today, it's been hot today. So I don't roll my windows completely down on a hot day and leave my truck or my car. You know why? I don't want it full of dirt. I will lower the windows maybe a half inch, but you know, just a half inch, you can still get dust in there. But I have to make a compromise. I made a choice. If I leave the windows rolled completely down, it'll be cooler. I agree with that. But it won't be anybody's fault but mine that the inside starts looking like a dust bowl. So I'm trying to help us to realize that if we go through life feeling like life is controlled by fate, by luck, and providence is something that's not working out for us, we can get all down in the dumps and be discouraged because we set an expectation that's not realistic. Okay? So, it says here that God will provide for us according to all His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe that God does provide for us. What has He promised to provide for us? All things. Let's go and read that. Well, no, look that up for us. I'd like to turn to Genesis, the 30th chapter. We'll get to that one. He provides everything that pertains to life and godliness. And I believe that's true. But before we go there, let's go to Genesis, the 30th chapter. And let's look at verses 25 beginning. It says here, "And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, Send me away that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee. Let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. So up to this point, Jacob had been working for Laban for the hand of his daughter. And then he ended up working for two daughters because he got the wrong one first. Anyway, that's not the point of our story and our message tonight. But he worked for him for at least 14 years. And so there was a pattern that Laban had observed here. And what was that pattern? The pattern was that Laban had saw his herds increase. He said, appoint me thy wages and I'll give it. Laban said to Jacob, tell me what you want. I want to hire you now. I've seen that God's blessing has been on my household, on my agricultural endeavors because you've been here, because you have a connection with God. Did you know that if you will sincerely be pleasing to the Lord, that the Lord will bless you overall? I believe that. I don't believe that you will become millionaires or billionaires or whatever the current thing is that people want to strive for. I don't believe you'll become that just because you're a Christian. But you know, I believe the Lord will honor and respect you for being honest, for having integrity, for having good work ethics, for being dependable and courteous and all of those kind of things. The Lord will bless you in your life if you'll listen to His guidance and not be just thinking that you're going from one bad luck experience to another one. I believe the Lord will guide us and direct us. He says here, "And he said unto him, Thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came." This is Jacob speaking. "And is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own household also? I've been working for you for 14 years, and that's a long time. But I need something I can call my own." So he said in verse 31, "And he said, What shall I give thee? And Jacob said, Thou shalt not give me anything if it will do this thing for me. I will again feed and keep thy flock." And we know what happened there, right? We know what the deal was. And the Lord blessed Jacob. It seems like that Jacob did things to impact how much the Lord blessed him. There's a lot of questions I have about how that was effective, but anyway, the point I'm reading this passage about is Laban recognized that the Lord's blessings, His providence, was on his household because Jacob was there. I believe that your odds of feeling God's blessings in your life, in your family, is greater when you choose to fellowship and associate yourself with the Lord more closely. The closer you endeavor to cultivate your relationship with the Lord, I believe you're going to realize the providence of God as a greater potential blessing to you. So, where's that verse that you're talking about? Okay. All right, let's go to 2 Peter, the third chapter. And notice, 2 Peter, the first chapter, and beginning in the third verse, maybe. 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and to virtue." Peter here is assuring the people that God will provide and has provided all that we need for not only this life, but for the life of our soul. So let's read some more. He says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that it is in the world through lust." So how do we partake of the divine nature? It says here that God, according to His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, that's through Christ, right? That hath called us to glory and virtue. How does the Lord impart to us, how is it given to us, this great and precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature? That'd be like God, right? How do we get that? Do we go through, y'all know Aldi's has got a pretty unique marketing strategy. You go in, you put your quarter in the shopping cart, and I think that's pretty ingenious to get people to put it back so you can get your quarter back. Probably need to raise that a little bit. But you put your quarter in, you get your shopping cart, and you go in, and as a whole, unless they've changed since the last time I've been there, you go down one aisle, and the opportunity to turn around and go back is not real good. You better get what you want out of that aisle, because when you turn the corner, you're going to go back down another one, and you go through it like a maze. You go up and down, back and forth, and when you get to the end, there's a checkout. You don't have to. It's not like going to Walmart where you're looking at the end of the aisle and it says cornbread, flour, and what sugar on this aisle, and ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise is on the next one. That's not the way it is. You better catch it while you're going by. So is getting the divine nature kind of like shopping at Aldi's? As you go in and you start down the aisle, you better pick it up while you go. Is that the way it works? It says it's provided for us. I believe that God wants us to have His nature. I believe He wants us to be more like Him. But I'll tell you that what I've found is I don't know how much of His nature I need when I start out. And as I'm going through life, His providence is there to help me accumulate more of His nature as I go through life. More patience, as we heard about this morning. That patience can have its perfect work. Maybe the perfect work of patience when you're six or eight or 10 looks different than it does when you're 60 or 70. I'm here to tell you, I think it does look a little different. I think God has a different expectation for me now than He had when I was 10 years old when it comes to patience, when it comes to godliness, when it comes to understanding and all. I think He's got a different expectation now than He did when I first started working out my salvation with the Lord. So He says, all this is given to us that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. That's what we're trying to do, isn't it? And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord wants us to prosper, and by His providence, it's all available to us. All of that is. And I believe that He wants us to have more of it as we go along through life. We live, as I think all of us here would acknowledge, we live in an age that information is so accessible. And yet, how do we use it? The same avenue that can give us information that a generation or two ago was difficult to come up with is now at our fingertips. We have apps on our phone. We can type in two or three words in a search engine and come up with a scripture. We can come up with a song. We can, even songs that's not in our book, we can Google it, if you will, And we can come up with just a little bit of filtering. We can come up with the words of a song that we haven't heard for 20 years. And we don't know where the words are, but we can all look it up. And then we can sing a song. Wonderful. I'm glad we... But, you know, the devil would like to use that same thing to just mesmerize and dumb us down with entertainment. But how are we using the providence of intelligence that God has blessed mankind with? How are we using it? Do you think all of these things that we read about, in my margin of my Bible, it says increment of Christian graces. When we start adding one thing to something else, it's incrementally gaining more of the divine nature. Would you agree? And if we're gaining more of the divine nature, are we really? Or are we just satisfied to just maybe pick and choose a little bit, or be satisfied to stay in the first aisle and not go all the way? It's the providence is that it's available to us. And I'm very challenged. Personally, I'm very challenged. Am I capitalizing on the opportunity of providence that the Lord has for me? Sometimes I think people's perspective of the providence of God is when I need a blessing or something that's went wrong to go right, that we just need to go pull it off the shelf and rub it on. And I believe the providence of God is a little different than that. There are times He has mercy on us and causes our difficult situations to disappear. But the providence of God is still there when we don't have a problem. And I'm asking us to sincerely look inside today. Are we taking advantage of the providence when things are going well? Or do we only look for the providence of God when we have a flat tire? when our child falls out of the tree. Lord, have mercy on it. Fix this bump. You know, we want the Lord to do something, don't we? I do. I pray for it. Lord, take this headache away. It's almost more than I can handle. And we want the providence of God to flip a switch, and then all of a sudden it's gone. Y'all know what a dip switch is? Brother Paul, you know what they are, right? Well, they're just it's an acronym. I think it's digital input position. I don't know what, somebody Google that and you can find it out. We're living in the information age. It's a little switch, and a lot of times electronic components have them, and they'll have a set of 10 or 20 dip switches, they call them, on the back of something. What does it mean, Rodney? Dual inline what? Passage. Okay. That means you can either switch it to this circuit or that circuit. Package. Okay. Same thing. So, I remember one time I was working on a truck and I took an engine out and put a different one in. And when I got done, the gauges on the dash was not reading correctly. So I took the gauge out of the dash, and there's dip switches on the back. So I went to experimenting, and I flipped two or three this way and flipped two or three that, and I kept comparing it, and sure enough, I got the right combination, and it started working properly. In other words, it was giving me realistic information. It was a RPM gauge. You know, when are we looking for the providence of God to give us, just dip us out of trouble. I believe it does. I believe it gives us hope in the time of our calamity. It gives us a calmness. It gives us a peace in our heart that we wouldn't have if we didn't have a relationship with the Lord. But I don't believe that we ought to shortcut providence and say, that's all providence is for, is just to bail me out when I have trouble. You know what that does? If we only bail out, if we're only bailed out in the time of trouble, you know what that means we would be? It's called spoiled. Fair-weather Christian. We'd just be spoiled. The Lord just always fixes it. You know, I can drive looking out the window. I get in trouble quite a bit. Not in trouble. My wife chides me sometimes for not paying attention to the road like I should. You know, I get across, I get on the rumble strips, and sometimes I go across the center line, mostly on the county road, but occasionally I do it on the highway. I know it's not safe, but there wasn't anybody coming so far. But it's more than just getting me back, helping me in my troubles. I want to avail myself. The providence of God is there for us all along. He wants me to prosper in my soul. He wants me to be able to know how to apply myself in everyday life to make a respectable living for my family. He wants me to do that. He wants me to know how to be dependable and how to get along with other people. But if I only seek Him when somebody has talked ugly to me, and I don't seek Him when things are going reasonably well, and Lord, how do I improve my work ethic, and how do I become more valuable to my employer? That's part of the providence of God. He'll teach us. How are you going to add knowledge to temperance, and temperance to patience, and patience to godliness? How do you add this stuff up if you don't try to accumulate when you're going downhill? When you're gaining speed because of your circumstances? I want to gather something up. What is this? I'm going to read a little more here. He says in verse 9, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Peter is reassuring the people here that God's provided everything they could need. The providence of God is real. But many times I feel that the providence of God is misrepresented. It's more than a safety net. It's an investment plan. It's more than something that will overturn troubles. That's the providence of God is more than that. I don't believe that God plans by fate, by luck, or by providence. I don't believe God plans for us to just go through troubles because He can do it. We will go through troubles. And I believe there's times that He will go through seasons where we need some rain. We need some rain right now, literally. And maybe we haven't been as faithful as we should about praying for rain. Literal rain. But we may go through some times in our walk with the Lord, in our spiritual man, that we feel a little dry, that we feel a little arid, that we feel a little it's not as rich as I want it to be. But when we are feeling encouraged, what else are we picking up to go with it? The providence is still there. I hope what I'm trying to say tonight will resonate with us. I believe there is such a thing as a providence, but providence is not just something to try to solve all of our troubles. Nor is it a providence that will dictate you will have problems. The providence of God is something that empowers us, and it is accumulative. There's a scripture in the Old Testament. My mother-in-law gave us this when we first got married. It says, line upon line, precept upon precept. I thought maybe it was another one. What was you thinking of? Yeah. There is that scattereth. And life has a way that seems to scatter things. We think we've about got it, all of our eggs in one basket, so to speak, and then it all scrambles on us. And there's things that we can feel like life is falling apart. And in reality, the Lord wants us to take advantage of His providence and begin to be more stable and more purposeful and more intentional in the times when we're encouraged and in times when we got a little slack in the chain, so to speak. Lord, help us to take advantage of the providence, what He is providing, what He's got available for us, if we will just reach out and put our hands on it, so to speak, spiritually. What's the verse? Okay. All right. Proverbs 11 and 24. I'll read it again. There is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. There's times when it seems like you may think it's not necessary for me to study or to read, or I'm encouraged already. Well, that's the time to move up just a little bit closer. You know, something my father taught me is if you load something, and I've tried to teach it to my children, and I'm passing it on to you tonight. If you load something on a trailer or a truck, and you got it all tied down, go down the road. You may think it's perfectly tied down. Go down the road about two or three blocks and get out and check your chain. Get out and check your rope, because there's something about moving down the road, the load will settle. And I don't care if you're hauling firewood, cars, or scrap iron. It's going to settle on you, and you need to get out and recheck your chain. You know, as we go through life, there's going to be times that we don't feel like, oh, all the children's behaving, we don't need to focus on anything tonight in family worship. It's time to just move up a little bit closer. It's time to take advantage of that opportunity. The providence of God is there for us. I just want to encourage us that the providence of God is there to help us and to lead us and guide us. into all truth. You pray for me. I want to be faithful. I want to take advantage of the providence and move up any opportunity that I got. You pray for me.